95 was the year of the Dungeon of Doom. It was Hulk Hogan, and they build this, and I got to hear you do the voice.
What voice?
Never mind. You know the voice. The man. Sullivan, my son.
Oh, yeah. I don't feel like doing that.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Sullivan, my son. From the highest peaks of the Himalayas to the slums of Singapore to the penthouses in Paris.
And Kevin Sullivan.
Hulkamania is running wild and it must be destroyed.
And Kevin Sullivan just kind of walks out of the ring and just is like totally bewildered by all this.
Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Hey, welcome to the Double Drop Kick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
This is part 7 of the Death Dealers Invitational Ultimate Fantasy Tag Team Tournament. If you just stumbled upon us, folks, this is the wrestling podcast where we talk about the wrestling you grew up with, the wrestling you need to watch now, and stuff. If you're listening to this, you can find all our episodes at DoubleDropKick.com if you haven't already. Also, we have a Facebook group called The Wrestling You Grew Up With, where every week I do a live show in there, and we talk about I talk about what happened on Raw, SmackDown, talk about the current stuff that we don't really cover on the Double Dropkick Show anymore. But also, we have a patrons only group. Everybody who supports the show with just $1 a month. Okay, there's other levels, but for $1 a month, you get into this group. Patreon.com/DoubleDropKick. And in this group, every week, Mark does a thing called Carrie's Corner for our good friend Carrie Trainum. But he answers questions. He shares his insight, talks about some great movies, talks about a lot of different things. And
answer questions that I would not answer here, like the one that I'll be answering today about for Scott Hicks. That I would not answer on the show, but I will answer for him in the patrons only group. He asked me a question about, I hear people talk about the right side versus the left side.
Yes.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
So I'm going to answer that question for him today.
So a lot of insider, you use a lot more insider jargon.
Yes.
In there. Mm-hmm. And rightly so. So I would encourage you to do that. We're into this. These are all second round matchups. We got 4 matches. We're going to talk about 4.
And please, please, we need to help on, because I want a good set of headphones too.
Yes. So this,
like a couple of months from now, I should have a set of those if we keep getting.
Yeah. So right now with our Patreon, we are almost covering our monthly cost. If you average out our monthly cost for everything, for our hosting. See, there are a lot of podcasts. They do their podcasts, and it doesn't cost them anything. They do it for free.
Right.
And to me, that just wasn't ever an option. And we built, we got the website. We pay for the hosting for that. We pay for the hosting for our audio. There's other things on our website that we're paying for that trying to make the listener experience better for you. So we're trying to cover our expenses, but we do want to make upgrades. So,
well, I heard a guy, like somebody was knocking people who do Patreon the other day. He was like, oh, give me some money so I can do this podcast that's my hobby. And he was kind of knocking it. And
yeah.
Wasn't nobody we know, nobody important.
Uh-huh.
But I was like thinking, well, like we try to give you something.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's not like we're just saying, hey, give us money because we do this show and you like it. That's not.
No, that's
it is panhandling. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
It's online panhandling. But we have set up. Somebody tried to join the group the other day. I guess you saw it.
Yeah, I sent him a message. And
hey, man, you can't just join this group.
I sent him a message and he just said, hey, this is what this group is for. And, it's for people who support the show financially. And there's different levels. Like there's one level where we'll give your podcast or your YouTube channel a shout out. We will, there's other levels where.
And if you think, why would I want to do that? Because we get thousands of downloads a month.
Yeah, we get 100, over 100 downloads a day now.
Yeah.
Which we used to get about 100 downloads a month. Now we're getting 100. Listen, I mean, our show is growing, and you know,
and
we appreciate
it. And we have a wrestling group with, as to today, a little over 75,000 members.
Yeah, by the time you listen
to this, 75,000 people.
Yeah.
If you could pay $10 to have 75,000 people who care about wrestling, and you could, you'll have somebody talk to them
right.
about that, then
yeah.
think about that.
There's one level on Patreon where you get an autographed picture. Mm-hmm. And you know, we've mailed those out, and you know, thanks to all the guys that they've been really good to take pictures and post those on social media. Mark, of all the, I'm going to be honest, these last two brackets, this one we're going to talk about, I have been looking forward to these because I got, there's some intriguing matchups.
Uh-huh. I think these more so than the first two. There's
yeah.
some better ones here.
Definitely parts five and six, definitely some good conversations there. But what's our first match here?
The Outsiders versus the Natural Disasters.
Oh, my goodness. Just, it's a Smart Mark's nightmare.
It really is, man.
Oh,
but
man.
Maybe, but here's the thing. It's a Smart Mark's nightmare, but if somebody said to you a year ago, Braun Strowman and Big Show are going to get awesome chant, would you have believed it?
No.
No, you wouldn't have, and I wouldn't have either. So maybe these guys stepped their game up, and obviously you got to have Scott Hall taking the heat.
Yeah.
I mean, you
Scott
know,
Hall's the smallest guy in this match.
Scott Hall is going to be the workhorse of this match.
Yeah.
Really
and he's
is.
Shown that he can do that.
Oh, yeah. And I like Scott Hall, man.
Yes.
I think everybody agrees that Scott Hall's a good guy. And everybody says about Kevin Nash that when he's not around Shawn Michaels and Triple H, that he's their best. Like Steve Austin, he's one of my best friends when he ain't around those guys. When you, for some reason, when you put him with those guys. But those guys are not in this tournament.
No.
So I don't feel like I'm going to have to worry about it. And Hall and Nash, as much as you want to knock Hall and Nash, I've never known them to not do the job.
No, you're absolutely right. And here's what a lot of people don't think about. And I would love your thoughts on this. You had two guys who were at the top of the singles game in WWF.
Right.
Come over not as singles performers.
Right.
They came over as a tag team so Hulk Hogan could be the top singles guy.
They were smart.
Right. Hey, you're going to let us be with Hulk Hogan?
They're smart, and they're not marks.
And they made some money and still making money.
Yes, they own. I read somewhere, and I'm sure it's true, that Kevin Nash owns 66% of the NWO merchandising money.
Wow.
Because he, Hogan, and Hall split it up.
Yeah.
So each of them had maybe it was 30% and WWE gets the other 10. I think that's the way it was actually. So it would be so anyway, Nash just wrote Hall a check.
Yeah.
For his 30%.
Oh wow.
So he owns 60% cuz he's a bit. So every t-shirt that gets sold, he gets 60% of that money.
Anything that says NWO.
Anything with NWO on it. He and Hogan split the money.
Wow. Wow.
So he's still making money. He's a good businessman. You can't knock a – if you've never been around wrestling, you might say, oh, well, it's politics and blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you something. That ain't just wrestling. That's life. It's politics and everything that you do.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
And you can't get mad at a guy. That's why I don't understand the hate for Triple H, just because they're better at it than other people.
Right. Listen. There are people in church world who got where they got. I'm not saying they backstab me, but because they knew how to play relationships. And I'm not meaning that in
that's
a negative
everything.
Way. But it's everything. And when you make fun of Kevin Nash for the Oz gimmick, he wipes his tears with $100 bills.
I told you my favorite answer ever to a question was when somebody asked Kevin Nash. Dave Meltzer reported that the whole – your whole run in WCW, you never had more than a two-star match. He didn't miss a beat. He didn't acknowledge it. All he went was, I just got a residual check in the mail for $90,000.
Yes.
That was it. That was his answer to the question.
Yeah.
Because he gets it.
Yeah.
He also said that the most important thing anybody ever, the best piece of advice he ever got in wrestling was when he met Captain Lou Albano, and Captain Lou Albano said the only thing real about this business is the money and the miles.
Yeah.
It's the only thing that's real.
Yeah, yeah.
And he gets it, and he understands it. And that's why I got to put the natural disasters over, because I don't want to deal with a guy like that.
No, you're not. It's outsiders.
No, it's the outsiders, yeah.
And that leads us to this next match, which you could pick either one of these, and I see a money match with the outsiders. Yes. And we've got Ivan and Nikita Koloff against the Midnight Express of Dennis Condrey and Bobby Eaton.
Uh-huh.
We went with them because Stan Lane and Steve Kern reunited for the Fabulous Ones. Right. They were eliminated in the first round. What are your thoughts?
See, these are good matches, man.
Yes,
these
brother.
These are not as easy.
No.
Oh, man. Who's going to have a better match with the outsiders? Ivan and Nikita Koloff or the Midnight Express? Because I think it'd be the Midnight Express.
I do not disagree. I do not disagree.
But sometimes I have to look at that more than anything else. Like, plus you got Ivan and Nikita. By the time they were teaming, Ivan was a little bit older.
Right.
Couldn't do quite as much. And I love him, but I have to go with the Midnight Express just because I think the match with the outsiders is going to be better. And it'll be a different match than the outsiders are going to have with the natural disaster.
There's one reason other than what you just said. Are you done, by the way?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. One reason, and that is you booked the Midnight Express against the outsiders, and we got maybe a week between this round and the next round. A week for Jim Cornette to go on his podcast and run down Scott Hall and Kevin Nash.
Oh, yeah.
And get this heat online, and then it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, so he's going to say, and I had to go teach. I had to go teach Glenn Jacobs how to be Kane. And I said, Kevin Nash ain't got but six moves, and that's including a hair flip.
Jim Cornette is one of the great workers in the
business.
He really is, man.
So, yeah, I got to go Midnights. Now, this next match, I don't ever want it to end.
No.
I want to see it. It is one of the matches that I don't think we ever got to see. I'm pretty confident we didn't.
Not with Dynamite Kid at 100%.
Right. But the British Bulldogs versus the Steiner Brothers. That's going to be an awesome match. And I look forward to the moment when Scott Steiner and Dynamite Kid get in the ring together. And we're talking like Steiner in his prime.
Yeah.
And I really just could see Scott Steiner. Like, backstage, these guys both had the same reputation.
Yeah.
In the ring, they both had the same reputation.
Yeah.
So you can almost see Steiner and Dynamite Kid, one or two, they would either be best friends.
Yeah.
Or they would hate each other.
Right.
And I got a feeling they're going to hate each other.
Yeah.
And I got a feeling that's going to boil over into like this 45-second spot in the ring where they're shooting with each other.
Yeah.
And I really think Scott Steiner would mop the floor up with Dynamite Kid.
No.
And for that reason, I think the Steiner Brothers are a more marquee name.
Yes, I agree.
I think they really and truly are one of the greatest tag teams of all time. People don't remember how over Scott Steiner was.
No.
If all you remember is that big bad, Big Papa Pump stuff, like you missed the Steiner Brothers at the peak of their game. He was one of the most athletic guys in the business. So much so that I was listening recently to Bruce Prichard and didn't realize that they were going to bring him in to win the Royal Rumble and put the title on him.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to split the team up with Rick at the time.
Yeah.
So for me, it's not even a question. It's got to be the Steiners.
I absolutely agree. And that leads to another, an intriguing matchup as these first three we've had. But we've got the Eliminators of John Kronos and Perry Saturn against the Hollywood Blondes, which today, as we're recording this, March 2nd, 1993, I believe, is the year. That was when they won. This is the anniversary of them winning the WCW World Tag Team titles from Ricky Steamboat and Shane Douglas.
Yep.
And I, you know,
and we saw them compete against Steamboat and Doug.
Yeah, and in my mind, the Hollywood Blondes have taken on this mythical, this thing of mythical proportions.
You know what I think it is? And it's the same with a lot of guys that you never, that never quite got to reach their potential because of one reason or another. Like, and with them, it was, wait, we can't have these young guys who can go.
Right.
Who are getting over. And I'm kind of doing the same type of thing. And I don't really want to, I've said this before. I mean, every time we talk about them, it's what I say that, like, they're kind of doing something similar to what I'm doing, mm-hmm. and they're doing it better than me, mm-hmm. so I got to break that up.
Yeah.
Because, like, my stuff won't get over if this guy's out there doing this thing
that's right.
1,000 times better than I could ever. Like, he's believable when he cuts his promos.
Yeah.
I'm not believable when I cut mine.
Right.
He comes across as tough. I come across as goofy. You know what I mean? And I don't, not that Arn and Flair and those guys came across as goofy or anything,
right.
but that's what happens. I mean, yeah. they look and they see it and they split them up. So there's this whole thing that was built on potential.
Yeah.
That just never kind of got to, it never got to blossom and flower.
They were before their time because they were, yeah. they were, okay. What if WCW says, you know what? By our old booking minds, Steve Austin and Brian Pillman should not be getting over.
Right.
But they are getting over. They're getting over with everybody.
Uh-huh.
What if, maybe this is definitely another episode. What if WCW says, all right, let's figure this out. Instead of putting the kibosh on this,
let's let it run its course.
What if WCW had said, you know what? This is the future. We're looking at the future of the business. What these guys are doing, the promos they're cutting, the attitude they're displaying, the crowd reaction to that. What uh-huh. you saw was a glimpse of what was to come in the attitude era, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The believability, the reality of it, the coolness.
They were very cool heels, and they were cutting quasi-shoot, semi-shoot promos
yeah.
about how old these guys were and whatnot. You know, you could say there's a couple of what ifs. What if yeah. they've been smart enough to when they were reforming the Horsemen to use Arn as the TV champ, Flair as the world champ, and the Hollywood Blondes as the tag team champs, and that's your version of the Horsemen going forward into the 90s. What if
mm-hmm.
Brian Pillman hadn't have
let his phone ring while he was recording.
Let his phone ring while he was recording the podcast.
Continue your continue your book.
I bet I know who that is.
No, you don't.
So what if Brian Pillman had not fractured his ankle and destroyed his ankle?
Right.
I've said this 1,000 times. And they had really been able to go full on with their feud in the WWF. I'm not saying that we still wouldn't have got The Rock or that he still wouldn't have been as big as he was, but I am saying that I fully believe wholeheartedly that Steve Austin and Brian Pillman would have main evented at WrestleMania.
Yes. Yes.
Because they paid Pillman a lot of money when he couldn't work.
Yeah.
And they would have tried to get their money's worth out of that. And with Austin being as hot as he is, and those two guys, you think they didn't work that gun angle out while they were in W? They knew what they were going to do. They probably would have tried to do that in
WCW.
I mean, the stuff that they were doing with each other.
Here's the thing. And again, you know, some of these things we're talking about are universal in that if you're in a job, let's say you're the manager at McDonald's, and you see one of your employees starting to get better at their job, starting to, let's say you got a backline cook who's now a backline cook, learning to do from some of the front stuff, learning to run a register, learning to run drive-through, learning all these different skills, and you're like, man, this person is manager material, but you're trying to protect your position, so maybe you hold them back a little bit, and you don't. That's everywhere in life.
You tell them, hey, why don't you go take the trash out?
Yeah.
I'll run the register.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you're better than me.
Or you make sure when the district manager's coming through, you don't schedule them that day.
Right, they're off that day.
You don't want them to be seen, but then also how often I mentioned in the last episode, I think, of Mark Whitman being the Tony Stark of wrestling, being a futurist that he can see things. But so many times that doesn't happen in wrestling. Wrestling seems to be so far behind the times. WWE, in some ways, has tried to get ahead. What was the tout? They tried to be ahead of the curve on tout, and it bombed.
It just completely missed it.
So, for me, working in wrestling, it's that I don't want to be like these other people. I want to be open to something that I may not necessarily like or get. Mm-hmm. But if the fans are liking it, the fans are getting it. Listen, you give the fans what they want. Or you give the fans something that they want, but they didn't know they want it.
Right.
There you go. That puts butts in the seats. There you go. So, Eliminators, take out the Hollywood Blood.
Yeah, that's right.
So, Mark, tell everybody who our Sweet 16 matchups are going to be.
Well, we'll have the Outsiders taking on the Midnight Express, man. And the Steiner Brothers taking on the Hollywood Blondes. And not to knock the Eliminators were good, but just like Public Enemy,
yeah,
they were in a niche market,
right?
And they have a cult following.
Yes, yes, and we probably would have booked this in near Philadelphia, and there would have been people there.
Yeah, they would have hated it.
Yeah. So, hey, like I said at the beginning of the show, DoubleDropKick.com is where you can find all our episodes. Number one, hey, download us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio. Even if you don't have an Apple device, there are lots of podcast apps that you can use to download us on iTunes. Just download. I don't care where you download us. I don't care if you download us, whether you're in Pakistan or Canada, wherever you're at. Just download the show. Give us a 5-star rating review on iTunes. That would be awesome. Hey, tell us maybe you're an older wrestling fan. Maybe you're a younger wrestling fan. You're like, man, I don't really get the Hollywood Blondes. Didn't really see them. We'd love to hear from you on Twitter. I'm at Heath Mulliken.
I'm at the DDK Show.
We would love to we're evangelists for the Hollywood Blondes, man. They just were before their time, ahead of their time. In the words of The Miz, they were awesome. We saw them live.
I remember. See, if you don't think my wrestling acumen goes way back, I can remember 17 years old, walking out of the Anderson Civic Center looking at you and saying, that guy Steve Austin, he's the future of the business.
And also saying to me, Brian Pillman needs to do something with that hair.
Yeah, and then saying, I think we blew it with those girls at Taco Bell.
Was that the same night?
It might have been a different show, yeah. It might have been different. Because we went like 3 or 4 times, I think.
Yeah. Because I remember one time it was a different – one time we walked in, it was all set like catty corner. And I'm like, well, this is not what I'm used to.
Yeah.
So anyway, hey, thanks for supporting the show. We're going strong. January of this year, we had our best month ever. Would have topped that in February. It was just a shorter month. So help us in March be the best. Forget basketball. It's all about the Double Dropkick Show. As always, I'm Heath Mulliken.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.